This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone for this first day of November is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, and more for the area. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. And, you know, it always sounds better when you say it's the first day of something, or it's the first, rather than here we are on the final Friday of the month.
There you go. It's a much more positive sort of, yes. Yeah, the whole month of November is ahead of us.
Good
or bad. Whatever you want to accomplish in November, you've got 30 days to do it.
Yep.
I tell you something that has been accomplished in just the last few days, and that is a new contract between the Teamsters and Arkansas Best.
Finally. I'm sure there's probably banners hanging up at Arkansas Best corporate headquarters in Fort Smith that just say finally, and probably everybody knows what that means. But yes, a new 5-year labor agreement. Arkansas Best, the primary subsidiary of Arkansas Best is ABF Freight. It's one of the nation's largest less-than-truckload carriers, and roughly 7,500 employees are members of the Teamsters, and those are most of those are drivers, but there's some dock workers and office and that type of thing. But this it's been a bitter negotiation. I mean, ABF or Arkansas Best and Teamsters are still engaged in a lawsuit, but the original contract expired March 31st. They've been working this out. The Teamsters approved it June 27th after several rounds. And now, after some supplemental votes took place, a little over four months later, they've now ratified this new 5-year contract. Why that's important is that it will save Arkansas Best a lot of money. You know, the company if it doesn't turn a profit this year, this will be 3 consecutive years of losses. So they're needing some savings. The contract comes with about a 7% wage reduction up front, but then that's built back in and it's recovered by the 5th year of the contract. But more importantly, possibly it allows the company to negotiate and implement some flexibility in its work schedules, because as anyone knows, you know, freight and shipping and those kind of things, you can't just build them into, okay, at 11:30 it's here, and then at 12:30 it's here. So it gives Arkansas Best a little bit of flexibility in terms of its regional model, its delivery models, and those type of things.
The day before yesterday, division managers of Walmart were together in Northwest Arkansas talking about the company and the future of the company, and they admit they're kind of scratching their head over what the consumer will do next.
Well, they are, and they're not only what the consumer will do next, but what they're, you know, are they going to be spending and how much are they going to be spending and what will they be spending on? And it was interesting, they talked about some of their competitive fears, and not fear in a, oh gosh, we're cowering in a corner scared, but kind of a healthy fear of, you know, yeah, we're on top of the retail world, but we're always looking over our shoulder as well. And, you know, I can't imagine working in that high-pressure environment all the time. But, you know, for those folks who do, those merchandising managers, you know, it's quite a, you know, every day you have to wonder, okay, it's not only what the Kroger, what the brick-and-mortar folks are doing, but what's Amazon doing? And you know, what are some of these technology companies doing to work with manufacturers to bring the product straight from the manufacturer to the consumer, completely skipping the retail chain? So if you think about all of those, not only the uncertainty with the consumer, but the change, the constant change, and the frequent innovation that takes place in how products and, frankly, services get to consumers, sometimes I wonder how these folks sleep at night.
Also with Walmart, an announcement of some new jobs in South Carolina and Georgia.
Right. This is part of the, you know, the onshoring effort Walmart announced earlier this year, where they've agreed to work with companies to buy $50 billion in U.S.-made goods in the next 10 years. And, you know, one of those, so as part of this, Walmart is supporting to bring manufacturing back. One of the ways they do that is, you know, Kyle, if you'll make a certain number of widgets for me, and if you'll do it here in the U.S., I'll, instead of just guaranteeing you a 1-year contract, I'll guarantee you a 3-year contract. So they're doing some of those things. And, you know, Redman, the toy manufacturer that recently announced moving operations to Rogers, that's part of this. And And now we have three companies. They make glassware, shoes, and I forgot what else. But, yeah, they're going to move probably just short of 400 jobs to operations in Georgia, South Carolina, and Pennsylvania. That was announced yesterday. So it's a start. It's a help. But, you know, it's going to take more than just Walmart to help restore manufacturing employment in the U.S. Just for perspective, U.S. manufacturing employment typically ranged for decades between 19 million and 17 million jobs, and it fell below 12 million in May 2009 and has remained there. And in Arkansas, we have about 155,000 manufacturing jobs, and that's down 37% from a high of 247,000 in February of 95. So this is good news, but from you know, perspective, it's going to take a while to get manufacturing back to where it was, if we ever do, in the U.S. and in Arkansas.
Do you think this is the sort of thing, since Walmart, which is the retail leader in the world, is doing more onshoring, that other brick-and-mortars chains will follow suit? Could this have an influence on them?
Well, I think it will indirectly, and Walmart has challenged the rest of the retail world to do the same. And not only will they do the same, but I think there are some factors coming into play that is just going to make it economically good sense for these companies. A couple of those factors are just shipping cost, getting goods here, and also labor. Labor is equalized in terms of what it costs, in terms of labor cost, have equalized to some extent. So that labor gap between U.S. workers and workers in China or elsewhere is not as pronounced. So that widget that was more efficient to make in China and ship over here, now it's not as efficient. It's not as the margin is not there because the labor cost gap has narrowed.
And finally, we had a month where three polls, major polls, came out about Arkansas and Arkansas politics. You had the Arkansas poll based at the University of Arkansas. You had the Talk Business Hendricks College poll. Then another one that came out from Little Rock, the Impact Management Group. We're now within a year, really, give or take a few days, of the 2014 election. What should we make of these three polls? And given that we still have 12 months before Election Day, should we make much of them?
Well, yes and no is the answer. And how's that for a good political?
You should be running for office there.
We've had some interesting feedback on the polls. And the Impact Management Group poll, they conducted that and provided it exclusively to the CityWire. And what the good thing about having these three polls within relatively narrow time frame is that it gives us a good snapshot in time, and that's what I would encourage folks to think about. We're not saying this is how the race is going to end up. This, right. We're creating a baseline, and then as we do these every quarter or every so often, you can see how the candidates move in terms of, you know, how much money they've spent, did it move the needle. So, again, I encourage folks, this is just a snapshot in time. This is what our Kansans thought at this time. The thing to take away, or the thing that at least that I took away, both with, because it showed on the two key races between Asa Hutchinson and Mike Ross for governor and Tom Cotton and Senator Pryor for the U.S. Senate seat, is that those races are very close. But the more interesting thing is that the number of undecided and the independent makeup. And for Republicans, that's good news. For Democrats, not so much, because clearly, in these three polls, you see independents, sometimes by wide margins, leaning Republican or leaning conservative. So the Democrats are really going to have to go after those independents to move the needle in their direction.
And just how will they do that? Do you have any idea?
Well, money, number one. Okay. Money is the grease that keeps the wheels moving in politics, or keeps the engine moving in politics. So, yeah, they're going to have to spend a lot of money target them with messaging, and I'm sure these campaigns. I mean, I don't have to tell you they're more sophisticated now than they've ever been. I think they get more sophisticated with every cycle, so I'm sure they're focus grouping the heck out of these folks to see what gets them to respond, and that's how they're going to spend money to try to target those folks.
And so we have 12 months to go.
Yes, so buckle up.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the CityWire.com that covers business, politics, and more. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Have a good weekend.